Well, welcome to the Situation Report for January 6th, post-Trump certification vote, post-attack, et cetera, et cetera. So tonight I've asked Master Sergeant Jack Donna as well as Colonel Johnson to jump on and talk through the Sean Ryan situation from last week. By the way, that was Filter. Nice shot, man. That song was originally about Kurt Cobain, and I thought it appropriate since the guy in the vehicle, the Cybertruck, supposedly shot himself with a Desert Eagle, which is a very big pistol. But let me start by saying that I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about the situation with Sean Ryan and Sam / Terminal CWO. I know Sam personally. I've known him for about almost 4 years now. And I started supporting his work on Telegram when I started doing shows on Rumble almost 3 years ago now. And a big part of what he was doing at the time, which he's doing now, is he was bringing awareness to the situation related to the vaccine mandates on both military installations and across the military, and why it was important. And I'll bring Master and Don on in just a second. Why it's important for all of us, and this is what all of us reacted to when we saw the initial Sean Ryan interview. I didn't watch it all at first. I just dismissed it as, okay, it's more narrative building. But when I actually watched it and realized who it was that he was interviewing, and realized what they were trying to do, then I took a step back and watched the whole interview. And then I watched last night, I watched part of the Twitter Space podcast that he did, and Sam was on that. And then I listened to the rest of it this morning because I was late. Let me bring Master Don on. Hey, Jack. Thanks for jumping on, man. Hey, so what we all reacted to, and I'll let Jack talk in a second, is we all reacted to the fact that there was a whole crowd of people on Twitter that went after Sam's character. And all of us that have worked with him, all of us that have talked to him for the last 3 years, know who he is. The guy bleeds integrity, and so we all responded to that. I posted something on Thursday, I think it was Thursday or Friday, on Twitter that went viral. It had like 75,000 views in the first hour it was posted, and essentially what I was calling out was the narrative as I saw it at that time. And the narrative building is a separate discussion from the presentation. And what happened on, especially on Saturday, I think it was, that he published it. It literally drew all the shills to attack both those guys. Now, look, I've been very vocal about the fact that I don't know how Sean Ryan stays on YouTube, given the content that he's published and the fact that he's talking about things that most people have been banned for over the last 5 years, actually over the last 6-7 years. And that's a separate issue from the fact that the information they're putting out was clearly pushed into their hands by somebody on the other side of a keyboard that may or may not be real. I'm not convinced that whoever sent that email was not spoofing the account and sending them false information, because clearly the narrative was trying to divide both the military and the intelligence communities, as well as tarnish the reputation of Sean Ryan. And here's the downside of it. All things being equal, if Sean Ryan is what he says he is, and I've talked to a lot of people over the last couple of days that know him personally and say he is exactly what he says he is, I'll take that at face value, then it leaves the quandary of, why was this information pushed to him? Why was this information pushed to Sam? So, Jack, I'll let you take over here, because there's a lot to unpack here.
Well, thanks for having me on, Colonel. I appreciate it. You know, to your listening, to your listening audience, and you know, followers, you know, and to mine also, this is pretty personal, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because 4 years ago, in 2021, and you know, Steve, you were there. When we first formed up the group, you know. We were trying very, very hard to draw attention to one of the most critical problems that we saw coming down with the pandemic, which was the intergovernmental agency agreements, the IGAs. And, you know, the whole team worked really, really hard on that, Steve. You did. We were all in there in the trenches researching this in the state of Arizona. And, you know, just to give a backstory, anybody can look these up. You know, they're still available on the Washington Pundit website, all four of the IGA articles. But here's where this is kind of key. Back then, and I think people can relate to this, you know, after everyone was let down by Simon Parks and, you know, all the other, you know, people, you know, Webb and others, you know, there was just a couple of people that had stepped forward and were putting themselves in the breach. I mean, they were literally putting themselves in the line of fire. You were one of them, Steve. You put your name forward first, long before I did. And, you know, Sam was one of them also. Now, albeit he was working under a moniker at the time, but Sam Shoemate, he was the first person that stepped forward and said, hey, we can get this thing the attention it needs. And he was the one who put us in touch with Todd Callender and coordinated with Todd Callender. And Todd Callender and Sam Shoemate, they coordinated the initial meeting with Malcolm Out Loud, who was one of the anchors on the Voice of America radio station, which is, you know, which is what Carrie Lake's about to take over, the Voice of America. And so Sam was at the point of the spear on this. He stepped forward right away and he believed in what we were doing. He believed in our product. He saw what it was. He saw the tyranny that was coming down from HHS in regards to these intergovernmental agency agreements and how they actually work to basically subvert the state legislatures and county laws in the event of a pandemic, quote unquote, emergency. Basically, the Health and Human Services Secretary takes over your county. We had, I think it was all of the counties in state of Arizona that were under these IGAs. And so Sam Shoemate was right there at the forefront. He coordinated it. He got us to face, and he didn't insist on any airtime or anything. He did all of the mechanics behind the scenes, working quietly, like he always does, like he's been doing consistently, and he really stepped up and did this. He did good for us. Yeah. And that wasn't the only time that you know Sam had stepped up for our team. You recall, Steve, when the whole issue happened with that private at Fort Jackson.
Yep. He and I talked on the phone several hours about that.
I know. And I remember him telling me that he had spoken with you, and you know, all of you officers were trying to figure out the best way forward. And you know, it was Sam who had the connection to Eli Crane, Congressman Eli Crane, and coordinated that so that Colonel Jenkins could touch base and coordinate with Eli Crane. And Pete Chambers was in there also. Pete Chambers was also coordinating and helping this. And because of his work, and he actually did a Zoom call. We did a Zoom call with Eli Crane. We did a Zoom call with representatives from Andy Biggs' office. And yep, we were able to, you know, because of his efforts and, you know, him saying, yeah, these guys are legit. You know, we're not out here selling coffee mugs and t-shirts. We have been doing this, you know, Steve, you and I and the whole, all the rest of this group that we built, we've been doing this gratis. We've been doing this to help our fellow citizens. And Sam Shoemate is one of those people. And he was able to pull that CODEL off, that congressional delegation visit. Now, you know, why am I on here right now with you? I'm on here right now because, you know, I put out a posting earlier. You know, I'm proud to associate my reputation and my name with Sam Shoemate. I think he's a stand-up individual. I think he's a great soldier. I think he's always been consistent. You know, he's stalwart. He's dependable. And, you know, I started seeing all of this nonsense online about him being an agent and, you know, he's some kind of a deep state agent. And the people that are saying these things, like, I don't know who this guy Ryan is. Okay. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're going to have somebody on your program, all right, and you're going to, you know, have a long talk about something really serious like this, okay, and you better have dotted the I's and crossed the T's, okay? That's number one. Number two, you stand by your work. And when I heard the very next day, this guy, Ryan, oh, I've got to go into hiding, me and my wife and my family and everything. And I was like, wait a minute, what the hell? So you're going to leave Sam just holding the bag? That ain't
well,
right.
To his credit, though, they did the show with them last night, and Sam had a chance to say his piece. I finally heard it this morning because I came in late to the show. And, you know,
But he did the show after Sam did a follow up with someone else.
I want to keep this. You and I had the same reaction. I mean, what's funny is that we both. So Jack sent a message to me last night, literally after I had lost my shit because I was watching things on Twitter about Sam. And more importantly, about Pete Chambers and Sam.
Yes.
And because Pete Chambers is mentioned in one of the shows. Yeah. And look, we both know Pete Chambers. Chambers is probably one of the most stand-up guys that we both know. And Sam and Pete work together.
Yes.
You're not going to convince us that Sam's a deep state guy or he's on the payroll of the CIA.
Look, Chambers has briefed Donald Trump. He's written product for Donald Trump. Chambers was on, I mean, I don't know if people know this or not, but because Pete Chambers, he doesn't toot his horn like a lot of these other guys like Ryan. You know, Pete Chambers actually did the groundwater analysis for that train derailment in East Palestine. And his report went, and he briefed the President Trump directly. I mean, you know, this is utter and complete nonsense. And just like what you said, Steve, just made my freaking blood boil, man.
Yeah. And the thing to keep in mind is that, you know, the part of the reason why I'm devoting time to this tonight is that I don't want this to stay in the public eye any longer without addressing it. And, you know, I sent Sam a message last night and said, hey, bro, I'm going to talk about you on my show tomorrow. Because what I'm seeing isn't right, and that here's the bigger picture though that I want to make sure everybody's focused on this, is that there's still a massive threat to our country right now. We still have 42 million plus military age males that have been imported into this country, and all of this noise. And this is what I saw last week. And Jack, I'll give you a second to chime in on this.
Yeah.
What I saw last week was two events. And I think Burlingame, if you watched Mike Ferris's interview of Burlingame, you should watch it because it coalesces and it builds the narrative of what Sarah Adams was talking about. The reason why I want everybody to watch Sarah Adams on Sean Ryan is that she outlines the funding, she outlines the creation and the establishment of Al-Qaeda in the U.S., as well as the organization that's been facilitated and paid for by the CIA. Let me say it again. The training, the equipment, and the facilitation of the creation of Al-Qaeda, especially and the Taliban, has been facilitated by the CIA. It's outlined in that presentation. And then when you look fast forward to this attack, it builds off that narrative. And the all of the stuff that was in the quote-unquote manifesto, okay, Chinese drones, anti-gravitic drones off of subs, horseshit. China's not a blue water Navy yet. Number two, the war crimes that were committed in Afghanistan. Okay, that really happened. That's true. However, nothing's going to happen with that until Trump's in office, his administration's in office, and somebody can take a deep dive into the withdrawal of Afghanistan and hold people accountable for it, especially general officers. But remember, he's alleging that this took place in 2019. Which is narrative that can lead back to Trump. So they always use multiple lines of operation. So that's line of operation number two. Number three, and this is the most important one, is that he outlines the threat to this country by China. Okay, China is a threat. But the point is, we can't deal with China right now because we have to deal with our internal issues first. So, and then the timing suspect, the use of military guys, trying to tie those together in the mainstream, all of that's narrative building. But the piece that's interesting last night is if I listen to all the rhetoric in the Sean Ryan show and what they were talking about, the first thing they're talking about is we're trying to put out information we know the FBI is going to bury. Yeah, that's plausible. We're trying to put out information so you know that Sam is not a deep state asset and we're not spies. Okay. So there's two narratives there that have come out. And the two narratives are, number one, this message was sent to both Sam and Sean Ryan to legitimize the narrative. That's what I first called last week. And that's exactly what I thought it was. Number two is that this narrative was sent to Sam to legitimize the narrative. And also the show was done to protect Sean Ryan, who quote unquote could be the asset. Whichever that is, it doesn't matter. The piece that matters and the piece that we need to zero in on is we don't need to kill the messenger. We need to stay together as not only as a community, but as a country and realize what's happening in front of us. It doesn't matter if people think Ryan's an asset right now, because at the end of the day, if he's really an asset, that will come out loud and clear when things kick off. And I'm not even looking at that. What I'm really looking at is a guy I know that I respect has been attacked on the internet. A guy I know that I've worked with, as well as two guys I know and have worked with and respect deeply, have been attacked and their reputation's tarnished. The downside of this for Sean Ryan, no matter which way this goes, is that his reputation's been tarnished no matter what. And I think that's by design. So regardless of where he's at and what side of the fence you think he's on, that doesn't matter. What matters is there's still a threat in our country right now. We have the president-elect that was just certified today, which means if something didn't happen today, we should expect something potentially to happen before or on the 20th, because all the rhetoric has been they're going to keep him out of office. We haven't seen any attempts to do that yet. So it makes you wonder what could potentially be there. That's what we should be looking at, is responding to that if that actually happens, and not kill the messengers. Because we look, I could go after Sean Ryan all day, but it's not going to solve the problem. And what I'm really here to say is the guy that I know and the two guys I know that I've worked with, they're legit. That's unquestionable. They're both legit. And I know Jack and I both know him personally. And yeah, we're both sitting here vouching for him. Sorry, Jack. That was a long-winded answer to say, watch the threat and don't get wrapped up in the narrative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, I've been thinking long and hard about this, and I have, you know, my own theory about what's going on. And basically it involves, you know, along the lines of what they did with the perception of the general citizenry. And I'm not talking about, you know, people who have been in the police forces or have worn a uniform, period. But, you know, there's a general a trust that exists between, you know, law enforcement and the general citizenry. And by design, the deep state, whoever, whatever you want to call it, our own federal government, I don't know, it just, you know, it's all corrupt.
Pick an adjective.
Exactly. They basically employed, you know, the very CIA tactics that they use down in Central America to destabilize governments. And what did they start with first? First, they start with the poor. They start in the inner cities, in the barrios, and they start to break the trust that the people have with the police forces. Sound familiar? Well, that's what they've been doing here in the United States. They, you know, with prosecutors refusing to prosecute crimes and instead prosecuting police officers. You know, look at what happened with Daniel Penny. I mean, that's an outrage. So where am I going with this? The next logical step with this would be, let's attack the special forces. Let's break this bond that the American people have had with our special forces. Going back to Kennedy, I mean, these guys are, you know, And I don't mean it in a bad pejorative, but they're knuckle draggers. But you got to have these guys. You got to have guys like this that that know how to check people out. And so, what I'm seeing now is first with this thing at the NOLA terrorist, and now with with this Green Beret here, I see it as a new step in breaking the people's trust that they have with the military, and in particular the special forces, because that has been pretty much there's an aura, there's a mystique behind them, and there's an honor and pride that the American people have. You mentioned SEAL Team 6, you mentioned Delta, you mentioned the Green Berets and everything. So now look, now what's going on now? What the hell is going? What in the hell is going on now? You're going to attack Pete Chambers, a freaking 38-year Green Beret? Are you kidding me? The guy that used to work for the governor of the state of Texas while on active duty, the very first guy that stepped forward and said, "No, I'm not going to give my soldiers in my command this vaccine and pay the price for it." Are you kidding me? You're going to start throwing shade on people like Sam Shumate? Of all people, like, this guy has exposed so many corrupt general officers, SESs. I mean, you could go down the line, So what are they really trying to do here?
Yeah, I think you can make the case, too, that's why they're trying to discredit him, is because he's been so effective at that over the past.
Oh, 4 years. No doubt. They would love to get his scalp. I think the real tactic here was, okay, so we got the DIA guy on our team, and he did a real in-depth look at this from all different angles, and basically he believes that the real target of all of this was Sam Shumate. Now why? Okay, so Sam was damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If he sat on that email and didn't do anything and the FBI knew about it, they'd raid him. They'd take all of his electronics. They'd get all of his contacts. They'd get all of his data. They'd get all of his information. Okay. So he didn't sit on it. He went forward. He brought it forward. He gave it to him. And what did they do? These idiots that take months and months. Well, it's under investigation. We don't really know what the motive was. Immediately they come forward and they validate the email's valid. Valid email. Are you people that stupid out there that you're going to trust the FBI? You're going to, does anybody out there trust the FBI anymore?
Nobody trusts the FBI right now. And I think that was something that Sam said too, or that Ryan said too, is that, hey, nobody trusts the FBI. And they even said it to the FBI on the phone. Hey, nobody trusts you. So there's a transcript between them and the FBI, and it's just priceless. Like, hey, nobody trusts you. Just, I don't know if you know this, but nobody trusts you.
Did you see that transcript?
I did. I listened to all of it.
It's hilarious.
I had to listen to everything today to catch up, to make sure I didn't miss any of the narrative. Yeah. And, Bruce, I'll let you jump in here in just a second. Sorry, we've been, and I don't want to spend the whole hour talking about Sam. I wanted to address this and let him know that, hey man, there's guys out there that will cover down and cover you because we respect you. And I think we've made that point. But the one other thing about Sam that people don't realize is that he was not, when he was doing all of this, he was transitioning off of active duty. And he was going from being on active duty to being a civilian. And when he was doing that transition, he and I had several conversations. I said to him, hey, what do you want to do? I know a lot of people are in the cyber business. If you want to do that, if you want to do tech, I can get you in tech. If you want to work with people in the media business, I know people over there. What do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, sir. But, I didn't start out to be a journalist, but that's where I'm at. And that's what I think I should go do. And right now I'm going to take some time off. And that doesn't sound like a dude that's like, hey, I'm going to go get recruited by the CIA now and go do a bunch of work for the CIA. Cause that's just not how he, how he rolled. And why this is important, and I can't stress this enough, is that we're routinely bombarded by narratives that everything's a conspiracy and everybody's a shill. And that's, we're both sitting here, you know, putting our reputations out there saying, look, we know these guys, we're vouching for them. And we need to see more of this with, because there's a lot of people that have been under attack that are not shills, that have been pushed to the wayside,
yep,
because somebody said you're a plant or you're a government asset.
What happened? What just happened just a few months ago? I myself and Seth Keschel, of all people.
Yeah,
Seth
Keschel. I was just getting there.
Go for it. Go ahead.
So, you know, we went through this before with Keschel and Jack when they called out Wendy Rogers, and what was that guy's name? Steve Slayton.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, the Cliff Notes version. There was a candidate up there in northern Arizona, you know, Navajo County. His name was Steve Slayton, and he claimed to be a Vietnam veteran. And I was asked to do a forensic analysis of his DD Form 214. And at the end of the conclusion of the matter, the DD Form 214 was doctored. The photo was doctored. The photo that, you know, I mean, and I stand by that analysis. And, you know, I'm not the only one that said that this guy falsified his records. Fox 10 News said it. Rolling Stone magazine said it. NBC News said it. I mean, a whole bunch of people that, you know, like experts took a look at this. Okay. Now, Wendy Rogers was sponsoring this guy, Steve Slayton. They were partners. They were campaign partners. And she was pushing him hard. And both myself and Seth, we contacted the Carrie Lake campaign, and we told Carrie Lake, her two advisors, Floyd Brown and Lisa Dale, says, you need to keep Carrie Lake away from this. And we had a talk about this, Steve. Remember, I told you about this. We tried every which way to tell them, do not let Carrie Lake go to any events where this guy, Steve Slayton, is. And what happened? She went up there, and there were photos of her under the Confederate flag, photos with her with Steve Slayton. And what did the Navajo County GOP do? They immediately published a letter saying this guy's a fraud and we're not going to support him. And then what was the next thing that happened? Wendy Rogers
banned him.
Wendy Rogers goes online on True Social and on X, and she says that she accuses both me and Seth Keschel of being deep state actors in the employ of the deep state, the federal government. You know, and it's like, why? Because we told you the truth? Because we told you that the candidate that you were supporting was a liar?
Well, there's more to it than that, Jack, because the other side of that, too, is that during the course of that, because we did a show on it.
Yeah.
The course of that character assassination of both you and Keschel, it came out that she was gaining camp, or who was her nephew was managing a campaign funds via a nonprofit or via an organization that was heavily involved in financing her campaign.
Yep.
All that came out, and
his name is Spence Rogers.
Spence Roberts, that's right. And all of that came out as we were going through doing the investigation into Slayton and calling out the stolen valor. And what it really boiled down to is Keschel figured out that there was no way this guy could have served in Vietnam given his ascension into the military, or matriculation into the military. The time he came active duty, went to boot camp, would have had to go to flight school. There's no way he could have been in Vietnam during that time period. And he came in enlisted, so there's no way he would have been able to go to warrant officer candidate school and then warrant officer flight school and be in Vietnam before the end of the war. And as soon as he called that out, Jack was looking at the DD-214 and realized it had been doctored. And that's when Rogers decided to do the character assassination. We're seeing the exact same thing right now with Sam. And that's why two things. that's my number one. We have to keep track of all the events that have happened prior to this. And I want to come back to something that is very, very important for everybody to realize. Those intergovernmental agreements, that's how Jack and I first got acquainted. Was I got a message from Jack on Telegram, and he said, "Hey, you need to look at this. We want you to put this out because you have a voice. Can you look at this?"
Yep.
And so the team he had put together had found in the buried in the notes in Cochise County, in the county board of supervisor notes, was these intergovernmental agreements that was signed by the CDC. And if you're not aware of these IGAs, this is why these are so insidious. Mm-hmm. The IGAs were signed by the CDC and the county, and they went to every county in the country, and they signed agreements with it, almost all the counties in the country. And basically what it does is that it hands over sovereignty of the county to the CDC in the time of a pandemic.
Yep.
And they updated those IGA agreements in 2022 and 2021 to extend out to 2026. So they're still in effect.
Yep.
Which means the CDC will come in and take over Maricopa County, a county of 8 to 9 million people, and dictate exactly what the county can and can't do in response to a pandemic. This was all done during the 2020 pandemic. They went in and they flooded all these counties with money. In Cochise County, they built a prison using that money. And now they've extended those agreements. You don't hear anything about it, and you don't see anything about it, because essentially what happened is every single one of those counties violated the constitution of their state and violated the U.S. Constitution by handing over sovereignty to a different organization outside of their township or county or state.
Yep.
That's treason.
Yep.
In its purest form, as soon as we said it, literally the moment I put it out, I started getting calls from DC. I started getting calls from burner phones. I started getting calls from politicians.
Yep.
And it snowballed.
Yep.
While we were doing that, Sam was on the other side of the fence calling out all of what the IGAs and what the those agreements were doing around all the bases, and how the vaccine was affecting not just military members, but how it affected pilots, which got Teresa Long, which got Pete Chambers, which got McCullough and a few other people. All of that, all of those people that jumped into this in 2020, all those people coalesced because of his work and because of the relationships he was building with other people by building awareness within his own circle of influencers and the people in his channels. And we wouldn't be here right now if he wouldn't have pointed us in the right direction of Todd Callender and a few others.
Exactly.
Because we were literally hitting a brick wall
exactly.
on both Telegram and on Rumble. I was so censored on Rumble in the first year because I was talking about IGAs. I maybe had 5 or 6 views on some of my videos. I know I had more people than that in the chat.
Yep.
But because I was being shadow banned, we couldn't get the message out. And it was all because of what Sam was doing behind the scenes to help us get the message out.
Yep. So, you're exactly right. Yeah. And you know, as a result of that, and the push on that with you know, the Voice of America, it got picked up by Mark Levin, you know, and Mark Levin covered our work, Steve. I mean, you remember that on his live radio broadcast. You know, after I hang up, I'm going to post all of this stuff, you know, on Telegram and on Truth so that people can see. Those articles are still up at the Washington Pundit. You can look them up and you can see for yourself. In the state of Arizona, there are still 8 counties out of the 15 that have intergovernmental agency agreements in effect until I believe it's 2026. I think it's early 2026. And these things are draconian. These things basically call for forced vaccinations in some cases, forced quarantines, control of movement, you name it. I mean, it's basically an abridgment of all of your rights under the Constitution in the event of a pandemic, you know?
And this was their plan. This is what they wanted to do in conjunction with the World Health Organization agreement that was, I think it was penned by 187 nations.
Yeah.
Two, 3 months ago. This was all supposed to happen in 2021, to where by the time we got to 2025, they would have complete control and be forced vaccinating pretty much everybody on the planet.
Yep.
And because of the fact that we outed the whole IGAs, it dissuaded some of the counties here in Arizona from actually signing those agreements, because the way they did it was insidious. They came in, they threw a bunch of money at the county. And if you've sat on any of the county meetings and you've sat in on any of the budget meetings at the state level, everything is done through either taxation or through levies or property taxation. You know, Washington State, they tax your gas, they tax alcohol, they tax your property, they tax you through tolls on the freeway. They've come up with a very, very effective machine to extract money out of people's wallets. And they also do school levies and raise taxes for a specific period of time for the school districts. And it's a very insidious way to do it. Well, if you don't have to do that, and the federal government is coming in throwing billions of dollars into your county, you're not going to say no to that. You're going to look at that and you're going to say, I can get all these projects done and get reelected for another 10 years if I get all these projects done for my county. That's exactly how most of these politicians think. And I got to quote Troop on this one, because Troop works with these politicians since he's a piece of council member. Yep. And he works with all these people. And the first thing he says, all politicians are fucking retards. They'll forget your name the moment they shake your hand and walk away. And that's very true.
Until they need.
And what he talks about when it comes to the county is, the county is full of people that have their pet issues, that all they want to do is get their pet issue dealt with. They don't care about anything else, and they don't look anything beyond the peripherals of their pet issue. And that's present at every PC meeting. That's present in every board of supervisors, every council committee, all the way across the country. So all of those things coalesced under COVID. And because they coalesced under COVID and they were able to sneak in all these IGAs, that's why they want to keep this. That's why they want to silence guys like me and Jack and Sam, because we're the guys that are putting out the information behind the scenes that they're using to leverage all these politicians.
Yeah.
And if we wouldn't have gone out in front, and trust me, this cost me a couple of different jobs and a bunch of friendships to put this out. But my belief system is, and I know Jackie, you're going to agree with it, and Bruce, I'll let you chime in just a second. My apologies. The reason why we're all out front is because we have a moral duty to report to the American public, what's really going on behind the scenes. And a narrative like everybody else. I don't always get it right. I was wildly wrong a number of things I thought were coalescing. But one thing that we weren't wrong about, one thing that's still in place, are these IGAs. And this is something that has to be dealt with this year when Trump comes back to office. That's why we're all still vocal about it, because they extended these. They didn't take them off the book. And anybody that tried to go after any of this, especially the election stuff, was taken down by lawfare. We have to unwind all of that over the next 4 years. And more importantly, we need to put in safeguards so the county board of supervisors can't go off the rails like they have here in Maricopa County. We have to put mechanisms in place to hold these guys accountable. And that's why we all got into this fight, was for that reason alone, because we saw this going off the rails here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And back to the original point here, I'm not saying that all these people out there, all these talking heads, I call them Bannon wannabes. I mean, it's like everybody wants to be Steve Bannon. But you want to know something? I want people out there to understand something. Okay. the team that we built, Steve, we put out product. We weren't just talking heads. We weren't, you know, for the last 4 years, we weren't just going out there and just saying, you know, oh, everything's burning down. And we actually went out and we did the heavy work. We did the heavy lift. We've been published. We've been published. We've been mentioned by Mark Levin, POTUS, 45. Donald Trump has resent out our stuff through the Arizona Sun-Times. Rachel Alexander, she's been a champion for us. I mean, we have put out a lot of product. There is stuff out there where we have not just been just talking heads. We've actually said, look, see for yourself. This is what we're saying. And here is the evidence and the proof. And that's the reason why they're going after Sam Shumate. That's the reason why they went after you, Steve. That's the reason why they went after me and Seth and, you know, and Chambers.
Yep. They go after the vocal first. So, Bruce, let me give you a chance to chime in here. I know that you and I talked earlier today. So you pick a place, just any place you want to start.
Well, I'm sorry I missed the first 20 minutes there. I was confused on the time zones. I guess this time of year we're on the same time zone, basically. Anyway, the biggest thing I wanted to get across, and I don't know if you already covered it, Jack kind of hit on it. The part that I heard anyway, is I just feel like the biggest thing is we don't want to get divided. We don't want to get the military divided from the populace. We don't want the military divided within itself. And to me, that seems like that's been the biggest side effect or outcome of the Las Vegas and to some extent the NOLA situations. And I think, you know, the key is, like we talked about in the roundtable, that we got to keep faith with our fellow prisoners and keep faith with each other and not get wrapped up about, you know, who's right or who's wrong or who's a shill or who isn't. I think all that will come out in time, but I think we really have to think about the time frame we're in right now. You know, we're in this limbo land between now and when Trump comes into office, hopefully. And potentially all types of different lines of operation coming together, like you've talked about, Steve. And the thing that's occurred to me that I was sending out to everybody in the chat was, you know, what would you do if you wanted to do some kind of major event and potentially, like, you know, dethrone Trump somehow before he gets in office and create instability? You'd want to go after your biggest adversary, the adversary that had the most capability of stopping you from carrying out that plan. And I think it's all of us, it's probably no surprise to anybody in the audience that the biggest reservoir of governmental power that's pro-Trump, pro-traditional American, is within the military, especially below the rank of 06, I would say. And the the best thing they could do is get us all arguing with each other and distracted before some kind of event could happen, because now we'd have people saying, well, whose version of the truth do you trust? And everybody would be, you know, debating everything. And if some kind of event happens, God forbid, that, you know, that would cause us to potentially be in a state of confusion, which would allow then the deep state forces to carry out their agendas. So that's why I say that, you know, the most important thing is keep faith with each other, with our military and our people, and, you know, all the people out there, no extended people in their family that are in the military, and they need to keep faith with them and not lose touch with them. And we just need to be prepared, because, like we've all talked about, I think that there's events looming potentially that will require us to be unified in order to stop them. That's basically my 2-minute speech.
Now, I'd agree with that. And I alluded to that earlier, don't get wrapped up in the narrative. Don't get wrapped up in the messenger. Pay attention to the threat. Because let's face it, if Sarah Adams' prediction, whether you want to call it predictive programming, prediction, messaging, if all that comes true and there is an October 7th style attack here, that means that the first responders are going to be overwhelmed, which means that Joe average citizen is going to have to step up and help out. And most Americans are not in that mindset or frame to do that. That's where our focus should be. It shouldn't be on, who's a shill, who's not a shill. And, you know, the reality is it doesn't matter what kind of attack takes place. What happens is we have to be ready to respond. So the more people we can get prepared for response or prepared to take action, the better. And more importantly, the more we can out their plans, the more we out the things that don't make sense and all these false flags as fast as possible, the better off, because it disrupts their operations. And look, I'm with Burlingame on this one. I think that they threw these things out in the public space to see which one was going to get traction that they could leverage for the bigger attack.
Absolutely.
And all the building and shaping operations fell flat on their face, because let's face it, most of the American public don't believe a fucking word that the FBI has to say, and they definitely don't believe anything out of DHS. So they've got a quandary on their hands. They need to do something to prevent what's coming from the justice side of the house when Kash Patel gets in the director's office, and they're out of moves. So their next move has to be escalation if they're going to go that route. And the good thing is enough people are awake now to look and question the narratives. I mean, I'm starting to see stuff from people coming out talking about things they saw on 9/11. That was taboo to even talk about for what, 10 years? Because the religion of the state was, it was a terrorist gun operation. Now you have people coming out of the woodwork going, hey, those buildings were blown up internally, and all these Israeli guys showed up in a van that had a picture of the Empire State or the two twin towers blowing up. I mean, you wouldn't have heard that 20 years ago, and now it's starting to come out. And what usually happens when people do research, they get to the ground truth. So I think the truth about who's being controlled, who's not being controlled, all that's going to come out in time. That's why it's not important right now. What's really important right now is everybody keeps their eye on the ball and we don't lose focus on what the bigger picture is. And the bigger picture is we have a moment in time right now in our history, like no other, to where we can shape the outcome and the future of our country through our own actions.
Right.
And because we've made so much noise over the past 4 years, and because of guys like Sam and Jack and the crew behind him, as well as, you know, Colonel Jenkins and Pete Chambers and all those guys that have been out there on the, you know, out there in the trenches putting information out, like Pete McCullough, you know, we are where we are because of the efforts of all these people that care about the country. We can't lose that momentum right now and turn and start arguing internally. And while I'm saying that, the other thing to keep in mind is 90% of what you see on Twitter is nonsense. It is bot-driven BS. And I look at everything on Twitter suspect. I look at everything on YouTube with a massive dose of salt. I don't look at anything on YouTube and say, yeah, that's legitimate, because I know how much censorship is taking place. And I know that nobody from the CIA, FBI, DHS, or any of the other agencies that have been installed in YouTube and Facebook have been removed. And I don't even know they've been removed from Twitter. I'm assuming they haven't been, because Elon hasn't announced he's fired all those people or doxed anybody. So keep that in mind when you look at all of the social media posts that are out there. Most of them are AI or bots. In fact, I can name probably 10 different accounts right now that are all bots and AI that are posting nothing other than UFO fear porn, alien fear porn, catastrophe fear porn, sunspot fear porn. It's like constant every day. And the more you interact with those accounts within your feed, the more of it you see. And right. You know, I've been saying this for months, that I post things that are inflammatory just to hit the guardrails to figure out what the AI is going to do. And I figured out that the more that you respond to posts within a certain genre, the more that you see in your feed. And it is like right now, my whole feed is almost all UFO shit. And it's because I responded to one post.
So
that tells you how programmed it is still. It's not a public square. It's basically a propaganda feed is what it really is. And if I respond to any kind of a political feed, that's all that's in my feed. And it's all opposite of what I'm actually interacting with. So if you're posting stuff to Patriots or Patriot sites, you get all Democratic, all liberal stuff in your feed. So all of this matters because it distracts you away from the bigger picture. And the bigger picture right now is everybody sees this. Let me just put that out. Everybody thinks something big is coming. Everyone. They don't know what it is, and it may not happen. And I would hope that through our efforts and through your efforts out there in the audience of posting and paying attention and calling things out in social media, that we continue to disrupt their operations. All right. Sorry, guys. I'll let you go now.
No, it's. I'd like to touch on something that Colonel Johnson talked about, you know, in regards to, you know, staying united. It is vitally important that the American citizenry realize that the United States military is their servant. They serve to protect you, the American citizen. They are not your enemy. And most certainly, I think I touched on it a little bit earlier, the special forces people are the best of the best. And they are not, they no one should be in any way, shape, or form should be even thinking that, you know, any of the special forces groups are the enemy. On the contrary, I think I recall, as a matter of fact, Stephen, you can back me up on this, Sam Shumate reported, and I think it was in the first few months of the Ukraine war, after Ukraine broke out, that I believe it was 75th Rangers. I'm not sure, but basically they got woke up at 4 a.m. and they were like, "All right, open up the armory. You're giving up your guns. You're giving up all of your these high speed rifles that they use." I remember Sam Shumate reporting about that on Telegram. So yeah.
And the recoilless. Don't forget the recoilless rifles that they took out of inventory that SF used.
Right. I think that's what I'm talking about. But what I was saying was, as an example, if you look at what happened in Cuba during the Cuban Revolution, now Fulgencio Bautista was most certainly an ally of the United States, and he had a military that was loyal to him. But over a period of time, that relationship between the people and the military was systematically undermined. They had already corrupted the police. So in the last few years of Presidente Bautista's reign there in Cuba, he was largely using military. But you started to see wedges being driven in between the people and the military. There were staged incidents that happened. There were false flags that were done. Military raids were conducted that didn't need to be conducted. There were actual people, military members that had been subverted and would use shape charges and blow themselves up and blow other people up. So they broke what they were able to do, where they were able to break the bond, the relationship, the trust that the people had with the military, so that when Castro and his brother and Che Guevara, when they decided to roll out of the mountains, the people just went and flocked to them, condemned the police. The military just, they were demoralized. They just threw down their weapons. In a lot of cases, they joined the rebels, and you saw a complete collapse of Cuba's defense forces, and this just fell right into the hands of the communists. And I see that parallel going on, starting to happen right now here in the United States.
Plus, like, and I think that's really awesome analogy, Jack, is we were talking about this offline, that the idea that we could see, you know, we talk about all the ISIS people that Sarah Adams talked about, Bill Buppert's series that he did all about the potential for, you know, an October 7th attack, series of attacks over days. The other thing we can't forget about, like also happened in the Battle of the Bulge when the Germans dressed up as American soldiers, is that we could see false flags done by these, you know, military units that have been brought in dressed up as American soldiers, committing atrocities, doing terrible things, and being used to create these wedges to break us all apart from each other. And I think we have to anticipate if things unwind, if something happens like that. And two other things I think that I wanted to mention again is the importance of unity is that our best chance to win or to defeat this cabal is through peaceful means. And the best way to do that is if we stay unified. If we fall apart and get divided, you know, divided you fall, and you'll end up with, that will be almost guaranteeing a violent outcome for the country if we can't stay unified. But the other thing that I think is, I keep thinking back on this, both the Obama movie that was released last winter and then the Civil War movie that came out in April, which I haven't seen, but I've seen enough clips and heard enough people talking about it that I kind of got the general idea. And I think that those two things are templates for what we're going to see. And I think the Civil War movie is a template for where they may want to take us. That's just a couple things that occurred to me while you were talking, Jack.
Well, I think you're on the right track, right? Because at the end of the day, they're playing the same script that they've played over and over and over again. And the reason why it's falling flat is because more of the public is awake to it, and more of the public is distrusting of the mainstream media. And they, let's face it, they've lost all credibility, especially before the election. And since the election, they've lost all credibility. So now they don't have the mouthpiece they had before, and they don't have control of the information space that they had before. And because of that, the things that they're throwing out against the wall, a lot of people aren't biting on, because we see it for what it is, right? And if you haven't read the books, Pawns in the Game, now's the time to pick up a copy and read it, because it outlines everything that we're seeing, right? The script they're playing right now to a T. And the reason why it's not sticking is because more and more people are awake. And that's why when you hear us on the round table, and Jack just did a very good correlation with history and how history repeats itself. They're trying to repeat history. They're trying to set conditions for a world war. They need a world war to write down the debt. What we need is for the system to collapse organically on itself. So they don't have a chance to consolidate power. They don't have a chance to implement a social scoring system, and they don't have a chance to implement total control across society. They've been trying to do it since the start of COVID, and everything's fallen flat for the very same reason that we're having this conversation, because nobody buys the narrative anymore. So the more people that we can get into the space of questioning things and using discernment, the better off we as a society are going to be, but more importantly, the more unified we're going to be. Because when people realize that this isn't about, it isn't about status, political party, or belief system, or even religion, when they realize this is all about money and control and power, then they're going to put away all of their political beliefs and put those to the side and look at it from the holistic perspective of who the enemy really is. And you're already starting to see the system crack. This conversation about the rapes that are going on across all of the UK, and the fact that Keir Starmer has had to respond to it, I can tell you where all that starts. That whole agenda of importing illegals in to replace the population, they're trying to do it here. And they've been failing, woefully failing, for one reason. And that's because our society is way different than any society in Europe, from the sense that most people here believe in self-responsibility and self-risk assessment, and they don't want to rely on the government for anything. And that's what separates us from Europe, because a big part of our population, whether you think so or not, they don't want government involvement in anything they do, let alone they don't want the government to dictate how they're supposed to live and what they're supposed to grow and when they can grow it and what livestock they can have. which is exactly what Europe's doing. And they're getting pushback now because people have realized that all of the clowns that are in leadership position and guys like Keir Starmer, they're all pedophiles. They're all covering for pedophiles. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our society. Don't you think it's odd that they spent 4 years building the apparatus after 2020 to steal every election and steal the down ballot, and they didn't go after the presidency this time? It means that somebody's got leverage on these people that they do not want out. And I think it's just a matter of time before it comes out. It's already starting to fray in Europe. And I've said for a long time, you get rid of the Windsors and the world will level out. So
I'd like to make a point, and this might be a little deep, but I hope that people can grasp this. I think you will. In its simplest terms, if you are invaded, if you are in a country and you live in this country, and you know, we'll say the United States, and you are invaded, it is a natural and a proper and a correct response to feel hatred for that. It is natural for you to hate that your country is being invaded. It is natural for you to hate that innocent people are being murdered. It is natural for you to hate and to despise and to condemn innocent children being trafficked, or people or women being raped, or the elderly being abused, whatever it may be. It is a natural thing to hate that. If you hate stuff like that, it means you are centered correctly in your mental being and your emotional being. What these tyrannical monsters have done is they've pretty much done it in Europe, although Europe is starting to wake up now. But what they've tried to do here is they've tried to say, if you say that you don't like that, if you say that you hate that, then that in itself is hate speech. You're a racist. You are an extremist. And they've got these Soros-backed prosecutors backing them up. So what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make to your listening audience is, it is not wrong for you to despise and hate what your government is doing to you. There's nothing wrong with that. It is a natural response. Now, we have to figure out a way to peacefully rectify the situation within the bounds of the Constitution. But I'm here to tell you, I think you're right, Steve. I think in this last election, they stole a lot of the down ballot. They said, okay, we'll give them the presidency. And then what comes next? I think the rug's going to get pulled out. I think there's something big's coming. And I hope and pray that that Trump is up for it. You know, he's going to have to fire a whole bunch of generals right from the jump start. I'll tell you that much.
I think that's why he brought Pete Hegseth. And if you look at the people he's put in the cabinet, now, granted, they're not confirmed. There's a difference between nomination and confirmation. But he's putting warriors in place. He's not putting politicians in place. And Hegseth was a warrior. Tulsi Gabbard, warrior. And Kash Patel, warrior. These guys all are not indoctrinated into the system that is DOD. Number two, they're not politicians. With the exception of Gabbard, but Gabbard's been through the ringer because of the Clintons. So everybody there has an axe to grind. And that axe to grind is with the system that put them on the outside. And I would hope that in this moment, that not only does the American public realize it, but I hope they use the opportunity when they put people in office to really show the world the malfeasance that's been taking place over the last 8 years. Because it's been pervasive, it's been treason on every level. And the reason why Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and the rest of the talking heads are talking about censorship right now is that they don't want any of their crimes to come out. That's why you're hearing it across Europe. They don't want crimes to be to be put in the public space, because they know if people really knew what the Clinton Foundation was doing, especially with human trafficking, and people knew what the Gates Foundation was doing, and just the level of malfeasance that's gone on just with vaccines and the Gates Foundation, these people would not have a place to hide on this planet. They would have to bury themselves in a bunker that was several thousand feet deep, because I guarantee you that the people that realize when they figure out what's been done to them by these vaccines, there's not going to be a place for these people to hide. And I guarantee you that information is making its way to the surface now more and more every day. You're seeing case study after case study after case study that's showing how dangerous the vaccines are. And why do you think the pharmaceutical companies and guys like, what's that guy's name? Pete, I can't think of his name, doctor. He's just a shill for the pharmaceuticals. He's literally threatening the new administration, saying we're going to release all these viruses the moment you take office. And I'm like,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's not Hegseth.
No. Anyway, the point is that they don't want the information to get out. They don't want the real information to get out. Now, the piece that's going to be interesting over the next couple of days, and I'm with you, Jack, I hope that Trump's announced he's going to do a rally on the 19th. I think that that is a massively bad move. I don't think doing inauguration and doing the parade and everything else, I don't think that's a good idea either. But supposedly he's got people around him that are providing some very, very good security. But I'm ready for anything at this point. I'm not leaving anything to chance. I'm not going to assume that everything's going to go peaceful. I'm prepared for whatever. And that's, if you hear us say anything, that's what you should be too. And I got asked this over the weekend again, probably five times over the weekend. Sir, what are your orders? My orders are really simple. Travel heavy, have extra food and water, be ready for anything, organize at the local level, have people in your sphere of influence that can increase your line of sight, that you trust, not people that you know that you think you trust, people that you know you can count on when shit hits the fan. Have those people around you, have a calm plan with them, and be ready for anything, because this could go any way. And I'm assuming it won't, but we should be ready anyway. I would rather be pleasantly surprised than shocked, and you should be too. Anything you guys want to add to that before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I'd like to just, talk about, one more thing in regards to this whole thing with Sam Shumate and attacking Pete Chambers. I even saw, General Flynn's name mentioned, and the Flynnites, the Flynn Network. General Flynn's a friend of mine. I was his first sergeant, and I was also his sergeant major. I was his staff sergeant. I was frocked in the position long ago, back at the U.S. Army Intelligence Center, and I know General Flynn, and it's absolutely ludicrous anybody saying that, he's some kind of agent for the CIA or a deep state, or it's absolutely ridiculous. The guy, if you watch the movie, if you even remotely alive, and you saw what they try to do to him, it's patently obvious, that he is not what these idiots are saying about him online. I recently did an interview with him, and he wanted me to talk about my family history. My father escaped communist Nicaragua, and he came here through the Panama Canal Zone, coincidentally, back when we owned it in totality. And I have to tell you, and I said this in the interview also, that a lot of the things that are going on right now are exactly the same things that happened in the old country. And to your point, Steve, and also to yours, Colonel Johnson, when they make their move, they're going to move quick. When Somoza, in I believe it was 1938, my dad told me, when Somoza, the first Somoza, made his move on Garcia and deposed Garcia, they moved quick. And they moved quickly. They grabbed the generals. That was the first thing they did. And they crippled Garcia. He lost control of the military. And so how does that pertain to today? I like Hegseth. I hope that he does drop the hammer, and I hope he does drop the hatchet on a lot of these general officers. And, you know, I don't care if he's got to go back, you know, to, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, get some of these guys back in uniform again. I mean, they can't all be decrepit and old. Some of them, you know, I mean, you know, some of these old timers are pretty tough. I was surprised to find out that, of all people, General Dozier is still alive and walking, still goes on runs at 90, 93, 94 years old. But whatever it takes, whatever we need to do, needs to be done, because when they make their move, it's going to be quick. That's all I've got to say.
I was going to piggyback on what you just said, Jack, as far as the moving quick part. Like, look at the Nazis. They had the Night of the Long Knives, where they went and quickly took out all their potential opponents in early Nazi Germany. It happened very rapidly. Look at the Russian Revolution. Same thing. There was long periods of chaos and warfare before and after, but as far as actually seizing power and decapitating the, you know, current regime, it happened very quickly. And the one thing we haven't touched on yet, that I've talked to Steve about this offline before, but like the thing that occurs to me as we head into this period ahead of us, is that I think we're going to be faced with situations like where Caesar had to cross the Rubicon, and it's going to take flexibility and synergy and good leadership on the part of Trump and Flynn and everyone else on the traditional American side of things to be able to react to events quickly and not allow them to spiral out of control. Because I think, like Jack said, they're going to, if something does happen, they will try to rapidly establish control, and it will take gut instinct, intuition, and good leadership capability to defeat that before they're able to cement power. So that's the only thing I would say on top of what Jack said. And that, you know, that might require unconventional thinking, because we're facing an unconventional adversary using unconventional warfare techniques against us. And anyway, that's like, I would just, that's it. And I would also say what Steve said about being prepared, be ready for anything. I think that potential hot spots to think about are, this coming weekend is a potential hotspot. It occurred to me that with the funeral for Carter on the 9th, that's also going to be a day that the stock market is closed. I was noticing today while I was trading on Fidelity that it says we expect the stock market to open up on the 10th. Anyway, I'm like, why is it expect? Why isn't it will? But my point is that this potential weekend, with starting with that, you know, financial holiday, is sets up almost like a 4-day period where there could be a lot of shenanigans. And then obviously anytime into the inauguration or shortly thereafter. But that's all I got.
I agree. And I want to make a plug for Sherita. She's out there in the audience, American Forecasting. You should listen to her synopsis of 2024 and 2025, especially from the perspective of, and I know before I say this, I know a lot of you Christians out there are going to freak out when I say this, but should take a look at and listen to what she has to say, because our enemy uses astrology and numerology to plan their events. And understanding doesn't necessarily mean believing. It means understanding. We should all understand how the enemy operates and how the enemy plans, and more importantly, what the enemy uses as indicators so we can get ahead of their events. And they use astrology and numerology heavily in everything they do. And I can tell you, Sherita has dumbed shit down to me to the point where she's chipped it down to the point where she's had to repeat it in several different venues before I get it. This is not my domain. I don't understand it. I do my best to try and correlate it all together. But the short answer is, the way that things are aligned right now doesn't bode well for our enemy. It doesn't bode well for Trump either. And I would say, look at everything with suspect eyes. Look at everything with skepticism. Look at everything and assume it's BS and work your way back towards the truth. And any event that happens, give it 24 to 48 hours to develop before you form an opinion. Because I guarantee you within that time frame, things will come out that you hadn't seen or even thought about. And a shout out to Speckled Egg. By the way, that is a cool name, the Speckled Egg. That's cool. Thanks for that donation. We'll keep telling you the things we're seeing. We'll keep coming out and, you know, talking about things that we think are important. But we don't always get it right. But the point is, we're reading the tea leaves like everybody else. I can tell you that everyone across the spectrum, whether it's special forces, whether it's Intel, or whether it's just in the truth community, everybody sees something big coming. I don't know what that is, but something big is coming because everybody anticipates it. My pastor this week, he was talking about the book of Daniel, and he said, I don't know when things are going to go Babylonian, but they are going to go Babylonian, and you should be ready to not comply. I was literally, my mouth was open. I was floored listening to this pastor stand up there in front of, you know, three services and say, do not comply. I wanted to shamelessly take credit and say he was listening to my sit rep, but he was clearly referencing the book of Daniel and how when they were in service of Nebuchadnezzar, that they didn't comply. They didn't bend the knee. And I'm like, wow, if that's not divine messaging right there, I don't know what is. But for a pastor to say that to his entire congregation tells me that everybody sees the same thing we do. So be ready. 80% ready 100% of the time. Leave nothing to chance. And most importantly, live your life. We'll be back. I'll be back on Wednesday with the sit rep. We'll be back Thursday night with the round table. Jack, I appreciate you jumping on. I really do. I appreciate the messaging last night. I hope Sam's listening. Sam, if you're listening, we all respect you, brother. We got your back. We'll see you on Wednesday night. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.
One team, one fight.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.